But the way I was singing there, I was so intense on the joy of singing, "He took my sins away." I should have had "but I" in the book. I didn't realise that there was other words to that third verse. So I was just so thrilled at singing about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken my sins away. And I do hope that every one of us tonight, as we leave this hall, can say that, that He has taken my sins away. I want to read some verses to you from Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. I always remember, I don't know if Stuart can remember it. One Sunday afternoon in our ministry meeting back in Kipnure Hill, a man came for ministry, and his exercise was just to read Psalm 119. And I had to confess, it was the first time I had ever heard the psalm read right through. And it was a great exercise because I think it caused a lot of people to study the psalm later on. Psalm 119, verse 145. Psalm 119, verse 145. I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord." I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord." Verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Back to verse 146. 146. I cried unto thee, save me. I cried unto thee, save me. Verse 170, please. Verse 170. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. And the Lord will bless thee this evening, these few verses from Psalm 119. The psalmist says, I cried unto thee with my whole heart. I want to say to you tonight, right at the outset of our little time together, if you ever mean to be in heaven, and the only way you'll be in heaven is if your sins are forgiven, you must be serious about the matter. And that's basically what the psalmist is saying here in verse 145. When he cries to the Lord, he's serious about the matter, and he cries with his whole heart. You see, we need to be saved. As I said, it's the only way that we'll be in heaven, if our sins are forgiven. We need to be saved. You and I are sinners. The Bible tells me that in Acts 3:23 it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's a lesson that I had to learn as a little boy. I had to learn the fact that I was a sinner. Oh, I didn't like it. I'll tell you, I didn't like it. And I've spoken to so many people over the years, and when you tell them that they're sinners, they don't like it. And we don't hear the word sin used a lot today. Oh, we talk about people living in sin. That's not really what the Bible talks about when it talks about sin. When the Bible's talking about sin, it's talking about anything that has offended God. Anything that you and I have done that have caused us to go out of God's way. We've sinned. Oh, we've lied. You know, the night that I got saved, the night that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour, that was one of the things that came before me, was the fact that I had lied. And I remember deliberately telling these lies. And I was shocked that I had lied and had offended God. And that night I got saved, something else came in, was the fact that I used a word that I just loathed to hear people using. I swore. I had offended God. And I also remember going into my granny's purse and taking a wooden thruckney. You remember the old wooden thruckney? To go to the ice cream man and get ice cream. And she told me I hadn't to get ice cream. I'd stolen. I had offended God. And I'm sure as you sit in your seat tonight, you're thinking about occasions in your life when you've done things that you know you should never have done. You have offended God. You have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because there's sin in our lives, that sin will keep us from heaven. You see, God is of holier eyes than to behold iniquity. God cannot look upon sin. You'll remember, I'm sure you know this story well, that when the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross of Calvary, when he was dying for my sins and for yours, the Bible tells us that he was forsaken by God. And we hear that orphan cry from the cross, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God, who is of holier eyes than to behold iniquity, could not look upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was being made sin for me. All my sins were laid upon him. And all your sins were laid upon him, there upon the cross. God could not look upon that sin. And that's why you and I, as sinners, will never ever be in heaven. We must get rid of the sin that's in our lives. We must believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, he was dying for our sin. You know, that's the fact that I had to come to that night when I got saved. It was the fact that there was one who loved me. Well, I was privileged. I was so very, very privileged. I had my mother and a father who loved me. I had grandparents who absolutely doted on me. My granny Clark couldn't have loved anyone more than she loved me, I'll tell you that. But I had to learn the lesson that night that there was somebody who loved me even more than that. God loved me. God loved me. The God of heaven loved me. The God of eternity, he loved me. The God of creation loved me. And you know, I've said it here before, and I'm going to say it again tonight. I want you to do something that we're always told not to do. You know, we're always telling the children that they've got to do this, and they've got to do that, and they've got to do the next thing. But it's something that we tell everybody not to do. We say, don't think about yourself, think about others. But tonight I want you just for a second or two, just to think about yourself. Who you are and what you are. And tell me, when you do that, do you see in yourself anything? Anything at all that would be attractive to God? There's nothing in me. Nothing in me whatsoever that I can see that would make God be in any way interested in me. But God has said, I love you. And he said that to his ancient people Israel. He said, I love you. And when they asked the question, why do you love us? He says, I love you because I love you. I don't need a reason to love you. I love you. When we consider the fact that he is the God who made us, surely that's reason enough for him to love us, eh? But he loves us so much. So very, very more than, yeah, even my parents could love me. Even more than my grandparents could have loved me. He loved me so much that he sent his only son, his only well-beloved son, into this world to die on the cross. And that was for me. It was for me. And he loved you, my dear friend, tonight in the meeting so much that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to die for you. So that you could be saved. Saved from the penalty of your sin. Because there is a penalty for those that have sinned. We were thinking in the prayer meeting tonight of the penalty that awaits those who refuse the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. The Bible is very clear about it. The Bible says that those who die without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour will arrive in hell. Oh. Hell. You hear it every day of the week, don't you? I was in the hospital this afternoon. And I don't know how many times I heard people use the word hell as an adjective. And even as a verb. They don't seem to realize that hell is a real place, it's a reality. It's the place where those who die without Christ as their Savior will arrive in. And it's a place, my dear friend, tonight, and I must warn you, you don't want to be there. The Lord Jesus, I've said this again, I'm quite sure I've said it here. The Lord Jesus tells the story of a man who arrived in hell. He was a very wealthy man, but that's not the reason he was in hell. He was in hell because, well, he put his wealth before everything else. He put his wealth before his spiritual health. He never considered God in his lifetime. And he died without the Lord Jesus, and he arrived in hell, and he was in torment, plural. He was tormented, he said, in the flame. And he said, send someone just to dip their finger in water and cool my tongue. That little bit, just cool my tongue. He was in torments. One of the torments he had was his memory. And he was remembering his father's house. And he was remembering his brothers. And he was praying, please get somebody to go and speak to them and tell them not to come to this place of torments. Because he was too late for him. His prayer was of no avail. He was in torments. And his memory was haunting him. And I wonder tonight, and we don't say this to be emotional, but we say it to be true and fair, and honourable to the word of God. I'm wondering tonight how many people there are in hell and they're remembering. Sunday evening, when they sat in gospel meetings like this, yeah, could I make it a little bit more personal? When they sat in the gospel hall in Newcomer and heard the message of the gospel and refused to trust Christ as their saviour, and tonight they're in hell and they're in torments. Oh, they were always going to get saved. Oh, how I enjoyed the preaching of the gospel. Oh, how I was so near to getting saved in that certain particular night. You know, I've known people like that myself. I've been sitting in hospital over these past few days with an uncle of my wife's who went to a meeting that John Clunas had, and he sat there and he shook and the tears were rolling down his face, and he said, I need to get saved, but he never got saved, and he's about to pass out into eternity, and he's never ever in his life got saved. Always going to get saved. The boy I went to school with, John Park, was always going to get saved. I know I must get saved, I know I need to get saved. 16 years of age, he broke his neck in a bicycle accident. Never got saved. When it comes to the question of your salvation, it's not a tomorrow thing. It's a now thing. Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. But if I had to ask anybody in here tomorrow, what are you going to do at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon? Well, I intend... No, give me a definite. What are you going to do at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon? You'd be a foolish person to give me a definite, wouldn't you? Because you just don't know what's going to happen to you. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day may hold for it. When it comes to the question of my salvation and your salvation, it's a now thing. Now is the accepted time. Now is God's day of salvation. And we need to be serious about it. It's not something that we can put off till tomorrow. The psalmist said, I cried with my whole heart. He was serious about the matter. When he went before the Lord, he was serious about it. He wanted to do something urgently about it. He cried with his whole heart, with his whole being, his whole soul into it, because he knew that this matter that he was bringing before the Lord was important. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. I cried with my whole heart. Tell me, how serious tonight are you about your soul salvation? I hope, my dear friend, tonight you're not here because you enjoy coming. I hope you do enjoy coming, but I hope that's not the main reason that you're here. And I also hope that you're not here because you like the folks that come here. Again, I do hope you like the folks that come here. But I do trust that that's not the main reason that you've come to this meeting tonight. do trust, my dear friend, you've come to this meeting tonight because you realize you're a sinner. And that you realize and believe with all your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ left the very splendors of heaven and came into this world of ours, and he went to the cross of Calvary and died for you. I do hope, my dear friend, that you believe that as a sinner you need to trust Christ, and the only way that you'll ever be free from the burden of your sin is by repenting and putting your faith and trust in the man of Calvary, the man who died for you on the cross. And if you do believe that, you've got to be serious about it. And you've got to believe, and you've got to cry to the Lord with your whole being. This is the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life. Hey. You know that there comes a point in folks' lives when they attend gospel meetings and they know the truth of salvation and they know they must be saved, and they come with regularity and they say, tonight, it's got to be tonight. And as the meeting goes on, I'll leave it till tomorrow night. Maybe even next week. I'll come back next week, or I'll get saved next week. And there comes a point when they become so familiar with the message of the gospel that they start to be a bit contentious about it. And the impact of the message seems to lessen and lessen and lessen, and the attendance at the meetings become fewer and fewer and fewer, until such time that they don't come at all. And then suddenly they think, oh, I should have the same. I'm okay. I'm young enough. There's plenty of time. I'll go back to the meetings in another 2 or 3 years' time. 2 or 3 years' time. We might not be here. You might not be here. The folks who organise the meetings here in the Gospel Hall might not be here, because you see, they're not coming. The same person, the Son of God, who ascended back to heaven, is coming to the clouds to take from this world his own, those who have trusted him as their own and personal Saviour. And as I look through the scriptures tonight, there is not a thing in the Word of God that's to be fulfilled before he comes. Nothing. He's coming soon. I believe with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my being that he could even come before this meeting ends. If he came to the clouds before this meeting ended, the Bible tells me that the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is, those who in their lifetime, who have believed the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Saviour, the ancient graves, I don't think they'll be opened. The bodies will just be snatched away. That dust that is now dust, it will all be gathered together, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And the Christians who are alive at the time when the Lord Jesus comes will be caught up together with them in clouds instantaneously. Nobody will see it, but they'll see the effects. Because if you come before the meeting closes tonight, if you're not saved, you'll be left to put the lights out and to lock the doors up. And you can just have this hall, it'll be yours, because the Christians will have no more need of it. We'll be at home with the Lord. He's coming soon, I believe that. And when he comes, there'll be no more opportunity for men and women, boys and girls, to be saved. Oh, you must be serious about the matter. You must be urgent about the matter. And you have to cry with your whole heart. So much that your cry will come near before the Lord. And you have to cry to the only person who can save you. I can't save you. Stuart can't save you. John can't save you. Only Christ can save you. The psalmist says, I cried unto thee, save me. friend tonight, we're talking about serious matters. We're talking about matters that will affect you eternally forever. You've got to be serious about it. And cry to the only one who can save you so that your supplication comes before the Lord. And you ask him to deliver him, to deliver you. To deliver you from the wrath that is to come. Oh, there is wrath to come. Hell and the lake of fire is not fiction. It's fine. And the reason that you'll be there, my dear friend, is because you refuse to trust Christ as your Savior. Not for any other reason. I was talking to a man just the other week there, and he said to me, Hitler deserves to be in hell. That's right. Hitler deserves to be in hell because he never trusted Christ as his Savior. Oh, he was a cruel, evil, wicked man. And all these other cohorts of his, they're in hell tonight. Not because they annihilated 6 million Jews. Not because they annihilated over 1 million Jehovah's Witnesses. Not because they murdered people at their whim and fancy. But they're in hell tonight like every other person. Because they refuse to trust Christ as their Savior. And how much more drastic must it be for these people who have a memory in hell when they consider the reason that they're there? They never trusted Christ as their Savior, and they're remembering the things that they did in their evil life. I'm quite sure that there's nobody in this meeting tonight who would wish to be associated with these. My dear friend, tonight, if God sees us, there is no categories. There's no little boxes that we get ourselves put into. A good sinner, a fair sinner, a bad sinner. We're all sinners before God. No matter who we are. No matter what we've done. If we've never trusted Christ for salvation, we're in the one group of sinners. And if we have trusted Christ for salvation, we're in another group. And there's no divisions there either. We're either a sinner, or we're a sinner saved by grace. Has there ever been a moment in your life when you've been serious about the matter? When you've realized that you're a sinner, and all that that means? Oh, sin is abhorrent to God. Sin is obnoxious to God. God hates sin. But he loves the sinner. He loved me. The Apostle Paul says he was the chief of sinners. And you know what he says? He says, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me. He loved you. He gave himself for you and he gave himself for me in Calvary. Let's go to Calvary. For 2 or 3 minutes, let me take you on a little journey to Calvary. And I want you to see a man. And the Bible says that by the time he gets to Calvary, he's unrecognizable as a human person. Who is this man? He's Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. And the Jews have rejected him. And they've cried, away with this. We don't even say this man. They say, away with this. We don't want this type of man to reign over us. Pilate has taken him and he has flogged him with the Roman whip. Most men, they tell me, would die under the punishment of the whip. He's sent from Pilate to Herod. Herod and his men of war, his guards, they make sport of him. I was reading just the other week there some secular history about King Herod. Evil man. Wicked, cruel man. And when he was appointed king or ruler of Judea, he decided not to take Roman soldiers as his guard, because the Roman soldiers were fierce. He decided to take Syrian gentlemen, men, as his guards. Why? Arabs and Jews. And the Arab hates the Jew with a passion. And so his men were Syrians. And it says that because it was the feast time, the whole band of soldiers were there to guard Herod. Was there 100? Or was there 500? There could even have been 1,000, the historians tell us. And these men, up to 1,000 men, made sport of the Lord and abused him. They put a crown of thorns in his head. They put a discarded Roman tunic around him. His back had been whipped, remember? They pulled the hair out of his face. They spat upon him, kicked him, punched him, beat him up. They set him down in a box, and they put a stick in his hand, and there he is, and they mocked him as a king. The Bible says that each soldier in turn, was there 500, or was there 1,000, they take that stick, and each one in turn passed by him, and they beat that crown of thorns further and further and further into his head as they mocked him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they take him back to Pilate. And Pilate takes him out onto the balcony, and all these Jewish hordes are before the balcony, and Pilate says, "Behold the man." He's to describe to the folks what they're looking at. It's a man. And they still cry away with him. And he, bearing his own cross, climbs the hill of Calvary. Where they nail him hand and foot to that Roman cross. And you look at that scene this evening. I tell you, if it doesn't affect you, it affects me. This is my Saviour. This is my Lord. I tell you, that is nothing. Nothing. In comparison to what he suffered when he hung on the cross, and he bore your sins and he bore mine in his own body upon the grave. When, as we said earlier, his Father God could not look upon him when he was being made sin for us. That's how much he loved us. That's how much he cares for us. That he gave himself utterly and entirely for my salvation and for yours. He wants you tonight, my dear friend, to repent of your sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and he wants you to trust him as his Saviour, as your Saviour. You've got to be serious about it. It's no matter how you take lightly. You've got to cry with your whole heart, with your whole being, and you have to cry to the only person who can save you. That's the Lord Jesus. "Lord, save me." And if you do that, you'll take your sins away. And he'll come into your life, and he'll lead you and he'll guide you. I tell you, from here on in, what life will be worth living. And I don't care what the circumstances of your life may be, if you allow Christ to rule in your heart and to rule in your life, oh, you'll still come through the storms and the trials and the difficulties. But you'll have one who is right beside you, who the Bible says was closer to you than any brother could be. Who is he? He is God's only well-beloved Son. My Saviour, who can be your Saviour tonight, if you'll only repent and put your faith and trust in him for salvation. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, as we bow in thy presence tonight, and as we've considered once again what thou hast done for us in the person of thy Son, We do bow our God humbly before thee and give thee our grateful thanks. That thou didst send thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world of ours to die for us upon the cross of Calvary. He left the splendours of heaven, knowing his destiny. It was the rugged hill of Golgotha where he laid down his life for me. We do thank thee, Father, that he loved us unto death, yea, even the death of the cross. And we thank thee, Father, that there upon the cross he bore the penalty that we should have endured eternally. And if we will tonight be earnest about the matter, and sincere and genuine about the matter, and cry with our whole heart and cry unto him, the only one who can save us, we do thank and bless thee, our God, that he'll forgive us our sin. He'll make us anew. He'll come and reside in our hearts and in our lives to lead and to guide. So we leave the issues of the gospel with thee, our Father, committing every heart bowed in thy presence to thee tonight, as we seek thy parting blessing now, committing and commending ourselves to thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.